Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers, ready for some Penn State. I'm not going to say football talk, just Penn State sports talk. Jeff, are you ready for that?
As always, yes, sign me up.
All right, very good. You know, let's start with basketball. We finally had the Penn State hoops team. They got their first win outside of Happy Valley. They beat, well, a not very good Rutgers team this week on the road. Just winning on the road is a big deal for this team.
Yeah, and Jim, I think, you know, the answer all along, and who knew, they just needed to get Kanye Clary out of the lineup. This team is such a better team on the road without him. I am obviously kidding. I will say the defensive effort that Penn State put forth, and yep, I get it, Rutgers not an offensive juggernaut, but that was impressive. And the thing with that effort in the game with Rutgers is that travels, right? Like that you can do on the road, at home, anywhere. And I know it has been a point of emphasis for Mike Rhodes. It has been very inconsistent, the defensive side of the equation here for that basketball team this season. And it was really impressive to see the way that team stepped up. And it wasn't just that they wanted, I mean, they controlled that game. And they were relentless with the pressure that they were putting on Rutgers. And, yep, Rutgers made a fair amount of unforced errors as well, we'll call them. But I did think that was a significant win and a significant step forward for Mike Rhodes and what he's trying to do with this program.
Well, I think what is, you know, an expression that doesn't sound very scientific or very analytic, but I'm going to put it out there, which is I think teams have to learn to, how to win. And you carry that forward. I think you need to learn how to win on the road. And especially when you go this far without a win on the road, which, by the way, it's not easy to win on the road in the Big Ten. If you look at the record for the whole league, the home court advantage is huge, and Penn State is just an extreme example of it. And when you get so many different players, they built this team essentially from scratch. And to get them together and, as I called it, learn how to win, especially on the road, it may take a while. And I know you're being a bit facetious when you talk about Kanye Clary not being out there, but I think what the advantage they have is in having someone like Ace Baldwin, who could carry the load at the point guard position, that kind of made up for Kanye Clary not being there, Jeff.
Well, it did. But I'll tell you, Jim, what Ace Baldwin did and what he's been doing is really impressive because, yes, he picked up some of the offensive slack for sure. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy that is doing a little bit of everything, getting the steals, grabbing some rebounds in some key spots, obviously making some shots, feeding the ball to the right guy at the right time. I mean, if you're looking, you know, for the straw that kind of stirs the drink right now for this Penn State basketball team, there's no question that Ace Baldwin is that guy. And, you know, I do think Penn State is still very much a work in progress. I thought that was a really good win and looked really good in the moment against Rutgers. The question is, you know, can they start sustaining this? Because we've seen it. They will play very well in a game or a half and then not so much in the next game or the next half. So, you know, the next step in the process here, I think, for Mike Rhodes is he kind of lays the groundwork and the foundation for this program moving forward is, all right, let's try to get a little more consistency in the overall game and the performance and see you know, how well this can translate to maybe getting on a bit of a run in a conference that is very difficult to get on a bit of a run in. But you know, look at what Penn State did in the matchup with Rutgers. I think that is impressive. You go back, Jim, Wisconsin still has just one loss in conference play this season. Who beat them? It was Penn State. So Penn State is capable of doing really good things. Can they get to the point where they can do it consistently? We'll find out.
And my take of the team has been more on the offensive side, the consistency. And, you know, to be fully candid about this game, Penn State did not shoot well in this game. Only 38% from the field and 22% from the three-point range, which, by the way, looks good, though, when you compare it to Rutgers. How could you be 1-for-17 from the three-point line, Jeff?
Yeah, no question. I mean, Rutgers struggled mightily, and that is obvious. But with the numbers for Penn State, Jim, I will say, to me, that is all the more impressive that they – again, it wasn't a win that came down where they needed the last second shot, right? They had this thing in hand. And given that offensive performance or lack thereof, right? I mean, it does speak to, yes, partially the ineptitude of the Rutgers offense. But as a Penn State guy, I'm going to go ahead and chalk it up to let's give Penn State's defense some credit as well. And, you know, they did create a lot of the turnovers. I mean, it was an aggressive defensive mindset that I think ultimately allowed Penn State to comfortably win that game, even without tremendous offensive production.
Well, I appreciate your ability to look at the glass as half full, Jeff. Me being the cynical glass half empty, I still have to point out this is a Rutgers team that made only 50% of their free throws, okay? So this is not a good offensive team, not a good shooting team. And these two teams, as much as Penn State forced turnovers, I think Ace Baldwin had about 5 steals in the game. These two teams combined for 36 turnovers. This was not a classic college hoops game. This is one where you take that W and you move on, Jeff.
Amen.
Okay. Let's hit a few other news items over the last week or so. An interesting point was the coach at BC, head coach, chose to take the coordinator position in the NFL. Which opened up the BC job, which leads to a couple questions. First of all, is a coordinator position in the NFL better than a head coaching job at a power four conference now? And the second part to this is, and again, this may just be talk, someone throwing a name out there. One of the names that was brought up for the BC head coaching job, old friend, Bill O'Brien, which leads me to the question, better job, offensive coordinator at Ohio State or head coach at BC? A lot for you to chew on there, Jeff.
Yeah, and listen, I think it depends largely on what your ambition is as a coach and what your strengths are. I will say, Jim, and I think we've talked about this before, I do think being a college head coach right now in this environment is as difficult a job as there is in football, more difficult than the NFL. You have a lot more parts that you have to deal with. In the NFL, you have a bunch of guys that are full-time committed to football as your employees, and you have a lot of staff and all of that. You certainly have a lot of staff at the collegiate ranks, but you also, again, are dealing with young men who also have other things going on in their lives that you're trying to form and mold into a team. You're dealing with all of the different ongoing changing rules surrounding NIL and transfer portal and all of the things that come into play. You're dealing with boosters. You're dealing with administration. You're dealing at the NFL level. You still have to, you know, you're dealing with media and stuff, but I mean, it's football. Like, that's what you're doing. That's what your focus is. And I do think, depending again on what your personality is, what your ambition is, yeah, to me, coordinator, it might pay a little less than what the head coaching job at the collegiate ranks does, but you have a ton less on your plate that you're responsible for. And as far as the head coach at BC or offensive coordinator at Ohio State, again, I think for Bill O'Brien and what he's wanting to, I think, get to and accomplish, I think offensive coordinator at Ohio State is the better position to get you to be at least in the running at some point again for either a high-profile Power 5 job, or I think his ambition is still ultimately to be an NFL head coach. I think it's a lot more difficult to navigate the waters of being a head coach at Boston College, where, again, you're going to be rebuilding a program versus being the offensive coordinator of an Ohio State program that, even if it has a subpar season, is going to be ranked in the top 15, and you're going to get some of the credit for them being ranked as highly as they are.
I agree with you. I think if you're coaching right now for the next job, not the current job, that offensive coordinator position at Ohio State, a team that probably I haven't seen odds yet on winning a national championship, but I can't imagine, you know, the odds for Ohio State is anything lower than, what, second or third? You know, you look at a Georgia. I'm not sure I could think of anybody else who would be as highly ranked or in a better position to win a national championship. And we've seen this process happen at Alabama over and over again. Those guys, they get their rehabilitation there as a coordinator with Alabama, win a national championship, and they end up with a pretty nice head coaching job.
Yeah. I think that's, you just get the benefit of being associated with that winning program. And there's, you know, I guess there's never a guarantee in anything in athletics, but that sure feels a lot more secure in terms of the results there than being a head coach at Boston College and trying to get all of those moving parts in the right direction here in a fairly short order.
Yeah, I don't off the top of my head say, oh, BC, there's a stepping stone to the big time, Jeff. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Stick around. We've got a lot more to talk about. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about, well, Penn State football, Penn State sports in general, college football in general. And Jeff, I want to get a little bit away from the actual playing of the game. A lot of news this week, discussions about the stadium renovation. I guess Pat Kraft came out, had a few things to say about it. And I'm just not sure where they're going with this, with the $700 million. I know what they're talking about, but I'm just not exactly sure what the schedule is, what they're looking to accomplish, but it at least seems like in this first go-round, this first off-season, the goal is to winterize the stadium so that if there needs to be a home playoff game in December of 24, they would be able to do it. And according to Pat Kraft, if the NHL came knocking on the door, they can host that NHL outdoor game on January 1st.
Yeah, and I think it's a big deal. I think it's long time coming here for Penn State to address this. And yeah, if the impetus is the possibility of hosting a playoff game in December, fine. But I think they need to move forward on this. And yeah, I'm with you in terms of I'm not sure what all is involved here at the end of the day to what all of the amenities and stuff that they're looking at with improvements to the overall stadium. But certainly winterizing it is a big deal, and I think will allow for some opportunities, obviously hosting a playoff game most notably. But I think it does open up the chance to do some other things, and even beyond an NHL game, which would be unbelievably cool if that does take place. But I think that I like the fact that I do think they are looking and truly planning long term here for, all right, how can we take advantage of what we have here in terms of facilities, and then capitalize and be ready to pivot if there's other needs down the road to be able to generate more revenue.
And if they would do a hockey game, it has to be Flyers Penguins, right?
I mean, this town would go crazy if that happens. Like, it would be so much fun. I mean, I just think back when I was in school, there were, I think, a couple of occasions where the Flyers and Penguins played in the playoffs, and it was as electric a downtown atmosphere as we've ever had here. I just think that there is, just a passion that those two teams obviously bring out in their fans, and Penn State being kind of in the middle of all of it and having students that are strongly allegiant to both of those organizations and both of those cities. Yeah, I think it would be super fun. Do I think you could do it with other teams and have other games that would draw some interest? Yes, but man, Flyers Penguins Gym would just get this place absolutely rocking, and it would fill the stadium. I have zero doubt that Beaver Stadium would be packed for that. I don't know if it would be packed like, Terry Pegula, I understand people saying maybe the Sabres would be involved, and that would be fine. That would be cool. It is not going to sell out the stadium, and it is not going to get people buzzing the way a Flyers-Penguins game would in this area.
Well, Jeff, yes, I would just have my doubts about this whole NHL entity and marketing people if they did anything, other than Penguins Flyers. So anyway, discussion about the stadium is winterizing over this year. Then the following year is when you would see the major changes. And it appears it's the west side of the stadium. And this is the quote from Pat Kraft: completely separating and removing the west sideline structure. All right, let's remove and separate the west sideline structure. Is there any way in the world you picture that being separated, removed, and rebuilt in one off season?
Yeah, I don't think so. Now, again, am I an engineer? Do I know how all of this stuff works? Nope, not even close. But yeah, that seems like a pretty tall ask, especially, Jim, if you end up in the playoffs and you do have one of those home games. I mean, that takes basically at least another 2 to 3 weeks off of that time frame that you have to work with. So, again, I don't know all of the – maybe there is somehow in this ever-evolving society of ours where we are moving at warp speed into a world where I don't even begin to understand with artificial intelligence and everything else. Maybe there are some things that are in place that, yep, now you can just raise the stadium structure up, removing a tire, you put this piece in, and a couple of days later, voila. But it seems unlikely. That seems like a year-plus project. to me, the layman.
This is Penn State University we're talking about here, Jeff. Okay? You could say it. You could say it out loud. Do you really picture that kind of efficiency?
Oddly enough, Jim, I don't. I can't even explain why. I just don't.
And that, remember, is the guy who's always has the glass half full. I'd love to see it, but boy, Jeff, am I ever leery. I don't want to get into the whole discussion. If you're moving the entire West Side and rebuilding it, at this point, I'm wondering why you just don't build a new stadium, okay? Because I know the West Side, that doesn't account for 50% of the stadium, but it's more than a quarter of it. It's, you know, at least a third of the stadium that you're talking about completely redoing, and you're doing it with the gun to your head about getting it done in between seasons. I'm also just wondering, they want to keep the capacity as close as possible. How do you, I'm imagining that by tearing down the whole structure of the West Side, you're going to not use bleachers. You're going to put in seat back seating along with some other special things. How do you do that and keep the same capacity?
That is a great question, and I truly don't know. I don't know what all is involved. I don't know if they can go up more. I just don't know. I'm a little bit flummoxed by the whole thing, and it's not to say they can't do it. I genuinely, again, on the surface, that seems like a very tall order, bordering on impossible. So I don't know. We'll have to see how this all plays out.
We're going to have to get our buddy Barry Fenchek, who's on the board of trustees. We're going to have to get him back on the show and talk to him about this. But here's my question to you, because not a lot has been announced of what they're going to do so special. You've been around a long time, Jeff. What do you want to see them do with this upgrade to the stadium? What would you personally like to have at the stadium that isn't there right now?
Luxury seating for me in the press box. Just a nice little, maybe a little keg right next to my seat up in the press box. A little better. No, listen, I think in all seriousness, like, the press box does need revamped, overhauled, completely redone, whatever. I do think that the seating, and listen, Penn State isn't unique in this. If you've ever been to Ann Arbor, good Lord, the seating there is tough. I mean, you are cramped in like sardines there. But yeah, I do think getting some more comfortable seating, it certainly makes sense given the money that's involved here that they would create more opportunities for, you know, luxury seating, if you will, for fans or corporations or whatever that are coming in. And listen, the big thing for me is improving the restroom facilities. And, you know, they've done a good job. I think the concessions have certainly been upgraded noticeably and appreciably in the last, I don't even know, 5 to 7 years. But I think there's room for improvement there as well. So, you know, I think there are some things that they can do, some things that are needed, and then some other things that are would be welcomed. I am really curious to see kind of how all of this ultimately plays out and what the stadium looks like and how much improved really is the fan experience. And, you know, obviously, from a fan's perspective, I'm hoping that it is great, that it is noticeable, and it's like, oh yeah, man, that was really glad that they did that. That's, I think, what you're hoping for at the end of the day if you're a fan.
One of the things, Jeff, that I thought going into this was a great improvement would be actual seats as opposed to bleachers. And I wasn't sure, and I presented this question to someone, well, is that an easy upgrade, which is literally just unscrew the bleacher seats, take them out, and put in real seats? And I was told the answer to that is no, it's not that easy, because the cement structure, the width of it, it's not wide enough to put seats in where you currently have bleachers. So that upgrade would mean tearing that whole cement structure out to put in seats, which automatically also, by the way, reduces the number of seats that you could have in there. That led to a question that I had addressed to me, which was, gee, they get over 100,000 people there loving the experience of going to Beaver Stadium. It's one of the great events ever. Do you really need to make that change, or are those bleacher seats just part of the charm and the experience?
Well, and they do have, I don't know what the extra fee is that you pay, but right, they have the seat backs. Now, it's not the same, yeah, obviously, as a, but I mean, you do have the seat back is available as an option, and there are fans that will bring their own in too, which is fine. So that's a good question. I don't know if they've done, I'm guessing that they have, and I'd be curious as to exactly what the results were, how significant that would be for fans to just have the actual seats there versus the bleachers, or if they're okay with the setup kind of the way it is right now.
Well, you get over 100,000 people right now willing to sit on those bleachers. All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter two. We got more to come. Stick with us. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. Jeff, I got an idea here. I know it's crazy, but tell me if you want to go along with this. How about if we talk about the actual Penn State football team a little bit? What do you think?
Okay, I guess we could try it.
I know it's kind of crazy talk, but why not? Why not? I saw a bit come out about Greg McElroy talking about Penn State football. And I thought it was interesting. Now, I know there are some people who are not big Greg McElroy fans. I kind of like him. I think he does a pretty good job. And I was a little bit surprised to see just how complimentary he was of Penn State. First of all, he said he felt Penn State was the second best team in the Big Ten on paper. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I have to take a look. I'm not familiar enough with what all Oregon has coming back. I know obviously Nix is a big part of their success there. Of the teams that, not including the four West Coast teams, and again, I think Oregon would be the only one that I'm thinking would consider putting ahead of Penn State. I think of the existing, given what has happened with Michigan, and that was obviously a very senior laden team. At first blush, Jim, my first instinct would be, I think next to Ohio State, Penn State would be my pick for the next best team in terms of roster returning and the ever dangerous potential word. But yeah, I think I would put Penn State right there. I think at either two or three.
I do too, and that's without knowing that Oregon team well enough. They would seem to be the one threat to that, with Ohio State the definitive on paper number one team, right?
Yep, for sure.
And it was interesting. He further expounded on this a bit with a couple things which I thought were enlightening. Well, first of all, talking about where they would finish up, and he looked at their schedule, and he said he felt this was a 10-2 team, that he thought the two games that they would be underdogs would be Ohio State at home, USC on the road. And yes, he did point out some of the other games. Now Washington's coming in. They've lost a lot of games. UCLA might be a test. Wisconsin on the road can be a test. But he saw USC on the road, Ohio State at home. And, you know, candidly, this is a USC team that lost five games last year, and they're losing what may be the number one pick in the draft with their quarterback. So I get it's on the road going West Coast, but he also saw, hey, I think there's a chance Penn State could split those two games, and 11-1 is not out of reach for them.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I will say, I do think that West Virginia game is, at least for me, a bit of a concern as well. But, yeah, on paper, I mean, I think he's right in terms of, I think Penn State will be favored in all except possibly those two. And, yeah, I think, I mean, 11-1 is, to me, very much in play. And I think, you know, 9-3 is probably in play with that schedule and with the possibilities. And so to me, and I know Penn State fans will love hearing it, like 10-2 sounds about right. And, oh, what a surprise. A 10-2 season for James Franklin and the Nittany Lions? Yeah, I know. I get it. But, yeah, that sounds fair as an expectation anyway going into the season to me.
Well, I think that 10-2 would be a little bit different than, well, let's just say this past season. This past season, I thought they were much better than 10 of those teams they played. And then there were the other two, okay? And I think we talked about that going into the season even. I expect this team to win those 10 games. I think there are more games here where they might be favorite, but you wouldn't be surprised to see a loss. You mentioned West Virginia. I think that at Wisconsin could be tricky. At USC, you know, can be tricky. Hosting Washington, where I think they'll be better than Washington, but this team has some pedigree now. So, and they know how to win. But if you come out 10-2 out of this season, you're a playoff team. And you may even be hosting a playoff game.
Yeah, and then to me, Jim, if assuming all of that's true, and I think you're right on all of those points, if Penn State gets 10-2, I do think that's good enough to get them in the playoffs. And likely, I think they would host. I think it'd be close call one way or the other there. But, you know, then the other component factors in, because until up through this past season, right, the objective has been get to the playoffs. That was the objective. Yeah, you wanted to win a national title. You wanted to get to the title game. But, man, you felt like getting to the playoffs was a big deal. I don't think, even though this will be the first year and Penn State never got to the playoffs in that four-team field, I'm not saying it won't be significant, and I'm not saying that there isn't some degree of accomplishment and that there should be some good feeling that comes with that. But if Penn State goes 10-2 and loses that first round playoff game, I don't think there's going to be, locally anyway, a lot of perception that, okay, Penn State has taken the next step, right? Like, to me, going in and losing that first round, now you're in that 7-12 range, right, in college football. Well, that's where Penn State has been all along here. I mean, a couple of seasons exceptions either way. But, I mean, 7-12 is where Penn State has been, feels like they are. And I think losing a first-round game would not leave most fans of Penn State feeling satisfied about the upcoming season. Now, one of the things that I think is a little different, too, about this year, and I'm still trying to gauge exactly where fans are with this, but one of the reasons that I think the optimism was so high going into last season was you had both coordinators back, And even though it didn't pan out, I think going into the season, everybody was feeling good about those coordinators being back and how that would play out. While I think most are excited, I think just about everybody's excited about Kotelniki, and I think most fans understand and are at least satisfied with the hiring of Tom Allen. It is two new coordinators, and so you're adjusting. And I don't know if fans are... I'm not sure where the overall sentiment is with the fan base. Are we okay with, all right, let's give them a year to get into this and figure everything out? Or is it, no, we hired them because this needs to be the year? I'm not exactly sure. And I'm not sure, too, if there's consensus within the fan base. Like, listen, getting to the playoffs is an accomplishment. Being one of the top 12 teams is not insignificant. But I don't have a real good read on, with the amount of talent coming back and Aller coming back and all of this, like, you know, the two loss season last year did feel like a disappointment. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. For the overall general fan base, man, you wanted to see that progress, which felt like you needed to win one more game. To me, I think at least winning a playoff game next year is needed for it to not feel disappointing as a season. That's where I'm at. But I'm curious to see as we get closer to the season and expectations inevitably get ramped up, exactly where fans are in that whole process of, all right, this is kind of the line that we're using to measure whether this is successful by our standards or not.
Well, I think, Jeff, and I'll go by, I always say, my small sample size of the fan base is me, okay, and how I feel about it. And I'm with you. I think they need to win a game in the playoffs. I would love it to be a home game, which would be then especially disappointing if they didn't win a home game. So, you know, and I'll take it back to this past year. No, 10-2 was not satisfying, but that performance against Ole Miss really left a bad taste, I think, in the fan base mouth. And yes, I am very aware of what was missing in that game, that this was not mid-season Penn State football, especially on defense, but I don't care. I don't care. They lost to Ole Miss, who was at best, what, the third best team in the Southeast Conference, maybe the fourth best team. I wasn't happy with that finish, and that's the problem with that feeling is what you have going forward. This coming year, hey, I could live with 10-2 because that would include some good wins. Even if you lose to Ohio State and USC, say, that's a win against Wisconsin on the road. That's a win against West Virginia on the road. It's a win against Washington. It's a win against UCLA. You're beating some named teams. So 10-2 in the playoffs, but win a playoff game for me. Now, you asked the other question about how forgiving would the fan base be because there's two new coordinators. Well, let me put it to you this way, Jeff. I expect better performance from the offensive coordinator this year than what we had last year, okay? It's got to be better. It can't be worse, or I swear it's got to be another one-and-done OC, all right? That's my small sample set from the fan base. Defensively, I think I'm going to be a little more forgiving because the way I'd put this is, if Manny Diaz were back, it would still not be a Manny Diaz type year. It would still be a step back.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And then, so then the question is the overall assessment. And I agree with everything you said there, but I think you want to feel like there is progress being made as a program. And so, again, I think we come back to, yes, they need to get into the playoffs to feel like this was a good season. A season of accomplishment and not disappointment. I think they need to get into the playoffs and, yes, win a game. And then I think you're at least comfortable that, okay, this it is definitively heading in the right direction here.
All right, Jeff, that's it for quarter number three, and that's it for you. We've got a special guest coming in quarter four, a new member of the Keystone Sports Network team. We'll introduce you to her when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante and I am with Kendall Skalicki. We are welcoming Kendall as the latest addition to the Keystone Sports Network. Kendall, welcome to the team and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. I am so, so excited. This opportunity has meant so much to me. I love being a part of your guys' team already, and I'm so excited about my show that's going to be airing on here too. So hopefully we can get into more of that.
We will. Let's get it started. Let's start there, Kendall, first of all. Just give us the quick brief overview what your show is going to be about.
So my show is, it's all blue and white. I'm a junior at Penn State, so it's very Penn State focused. I'm going to be interviewing athletes. My goal is to kind of pull the curtain back and show their personalities a little bit more, give listeners more insight to what goes on behind the scenes. And then the other part of it is I'm going to be working with Teammates for Life as well, which is a Penn State women's athletics initiative. So trying to gear more toward female athletes and talk about their experiences, but hopefully going to have a wide range of athletes. So super excited about that.
Well, we're really excited too. We're excited to have you part of the team, and your show is going to be part of the Keystone Sports Network, which is going to be fantastic. And before we get into more details on the show, let's talk a little bit about you and your background. Tell our listeners about Kendall.
Absolutely. So as I said, I'm a junior here at Penn State. I am a student talent for Penn State Athletics. We cover every sport here at Penn State. That's what I spend most of my time doing. We do sideline reporting, interviews, create content for the teams. So that's my passion. That's what I love doing is talking sports. I got into it because, well, I'm one of three girls and I'm kind of the son my dad never had. So he turned me into a huge Philly sports fan. So everything Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, you name it, that's where I grew up. And I just wanted to make a career out of it. I also played tennis, which isn't as exciting as being a Philly sports fan, but I just wanted to carry my love for sports over into college. And so far it's been awesome and I love it here.
Well, I tell you, as someone who spent about 18 years in Philadelphia, I understand the passion of Philadelphia sports fans. And you know what? It's not so exciting right now if you were an Eagles fan, the way they finished that season up.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good.
You mentioned you were a tennis player in high school, so you were an athlete, but we talked about this before. You have a new sport that you're into now, though, right?
Yes. I am now an avid pickleball player. So I actually haven't played tennis since my last high school match. I played my entire life really competitively. I won't bore you, Jim. I've tried to talk to Jim many times about tennis, and it's not his thing, but tennis is a very stressful sport. Mentally and physically, it's lonely. So once I was done, I kind of checked out, but I started playing pickleball. I go down the shore to Avalon in the summers, and it's so much fun, and it's growing so fast, and hopefully me and Jim are going to get out there soon, but it's an awesome sport.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked about that, Kendall, that you're going to teach me how to play pickleball. I have never played it yet, but I also want to say, how do you tell someone you're from the Philadelphia area without telling them you're from the Philly area? You say, we go down the shore.
Yes.
And That's a very Philadelphia comment. So let's go forward. Let's get back to your show now, which is interesting, especially as a student. Your relationship to these athletes is probably a little different than if I'm interviewing them. Now, this is not your first podcast. You already have some experience with the podcast and interviewing Penn State athletes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So my other podcast is called Gloves Off. I got the idea because I'm a part of an organization here called the Association of Women in Sports Media. And we had two speakers come. One was Emily Kaplan, if you know that name. She sideline reports for the NHL, or side rink, whatever you want to call it. And she was basically explaining to us how there's no LeBron of hockey and how hockey players tend to be much more reserved and about the team, and they don't really come out, you know, with like their own brands and stuff, how we'll see that in the NFL and the NBA. So I took that idea and I thought it was super interesting because I know some of the hockey guys here well, and they all have super interesting stories. I loved getting to know them. So it gave me the idea to start a podcast and bring them on, because they don't get, when you have Penn State football, you know, the hockey team is not getting as much attention. So I thought it would be really neat to bring them in, interview them, let them tell their stories, you know, do some fun segments, get to know their personalities more. And it's been really cool. Obviously, scheduling is not ideal because I also have a co-host. His name's Ibrahim Traore, and he's on the football team. So coordinating with a football player and a hockey player and my schedule, which I guess comes third, but I do have a life too, has not been easy. But when we get to sit down and do it, it's been really fun and I really enjoy it.
Well, I've listened to the show, and you could also see Kendall's podcast about the hockey team that we have links to on our app also, which of course is where we will be placing Kendall's show, not to mention on our website. And those of you who just download our podcast, you'll also be getting Kendall's podcast from now on also. And I'm also interested going forward, we talked a little bit about Teammates for Life and what that's about, and you've had occasion to talk to Char Moret Curtis, who was the longtime Penn State field hockey coach, legendary coach. She was the one who has begun this program. And I understand you're going to get a chance to interview Char for your show also, correct?
Yes, she's going to be my first interview. I'm so excited to have her. She's just an unbelievable human, coach, mentor. She's the absolute best. And I can't wait to learn more about Teammates for Life. Obviously, we know the surface of it is just to support our female athletes, but there's so much that goes into it. And she has built such a support system for these girls. And I think it's so important and so neat to see the organization grow. So I'm thrilled to talk to her. And that should be a really good first episode.
Well, I'm really interested to hear that also. We actually had Char on our show a couple months ago, and it was a wonderful interview. I'm hoping to have Char in again. But that's also a little bit of a segue for me to talk about an event we have coming up on February 12th. It's a Monday evening at Cafe 210, downtown State College. We are going to have an event with Char and Teammates for Life. We are also going to have on Carolyn Keeger, who's the head basketball coach of the women's team. So we're really excited about that event. We invite you all, please come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun. Plus, here's the other important part. There's drink specials. There's food specials. Those things particularly interest me, Kendall. But it's going to be a great chance to interact with these folks. And Kendall, I know you're going to have to leave early, but you will be there, right?
Yes, I will be there too. I'm so excited. It's so cool to take these women and get them in an environment outside of athletics. I think it's so cool what you've done, and I'm so excited to be there. But yes, the wrestling duel is also that day, so I'm going to have to run out early, but I'm excited to be there. I can't enjoy the food and drinks as much as you, Jim, because I'm only 20, but March 6th, I'll be there.
Well, we'll make sure we do an event after you turn 21, Kendall, so you could enjoy it just as much as we do. one of the things, it's been exciting for me. I'm an old guy, all right? I graduated Penn State approximately 1,000 years ago. But doing what I do now is to get to know some of the Penn State student athletes or just Penn State students like yourself. Landon Tengwall, who's now part of our team also, who you now know and you do some things with. That has been kind of an entree for us to talk to the players in a little different way, not just about, hey, last week you had 13 points in the game, tell me about that. Mm-hmm. You actually get to know a little bit more about the people. And Kendall, that's the part of your show that excites me, is it's going to give all of us a little bit more appreciation for what these student athletes really are like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they get asked those basic questions a million times. I don't think we need another podcast of me dissecting how they played on Saturday, or I don't know many people want to hear my opinion in general. I think we have enough of that today. But yeah, I think it's so neat to get to know who they are, what their hobbies are outside of sports, because something I've talked to Landon about at length because of his story is that it comes to an end one day. You can't do this forever. So it's just neat to understand what else they care about or interested in, where they see themselves. And to me, at least, I think it's unbelievable to learn all of their individual stories and not just look at them as an athlete on the field.
And that's a great point to make. And I've begun to learn that meeting some of the football players, meeting Landon specifically and spending a lot of time with him, getting the opportunity to spend time with you, hopefully one of these days on the pickleball court. Landon and I, once the weather warms up, he and I are going to be out golfing. You're not by any chance a golfer also, are you?
I'm not. My dad has tried to get me into it. I've taken many lessons, like years apart, but I have not fully gotten into it yet, no.
Well, Landon and I talk about it quite a bit, and he talks about going out golfing with some of his teammates, and it's some of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
Sure.
So I'm hoping not just go out with Landon, but maybe some of his teammates, and then it has nothing to do with the actual sport they're playing, and you get to know these folks. And as a Penn State alum, getting to know the young people, and it's wonderful to see the great young people who are involved. And I'm just so impressed with yourself, with Landon, how advanced you are in doing this work in this industry. Tell me a little bit about, as a broadcast journalist, what that program is like at Penn State and what the experience of doing that is like.
Absolutely. I was just going to say I owe it all to Penn State. As soon as I visited here, I barely knew what I wanted to do. But once I saw the facilities, the people that were graduating, what they were already doing, they were like professionals. You would never know they were college students. And it's just been so unbelievable. I tell anyone and everyone, if you're at all interested in broadcast, especially sports, this is where you have to be. Like, the opportunities we are given are unmatched. And I say all the time, at most places, students don't get access to the athletes. The fact that I get to go up to someone after a game and interview them and it gets put online, it's a small thing, but it's also almost unheard of. So it's been unbelievable that I get that access, that the athletes appreciate it. They get themselves out there more in the media. And this program has just changed my life, honestly.
That's fantastic, Kendall. Well, again, welcome to the Keystone Sports Network team. Looking forward to working with you and looking forward to your show. And thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.